is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Tate Martell is the number one dual threat quarterback in the country. He decides that he's going to pull his commitment. The Aggie wide receiver coach did not take this news well.
This smacks to me of meddling dad, which I'm never a fan of. Why is he going to the press with quotes about this right now? All you have to do is say, we just decided to look at other schools. I mean, you singled out a coach.
If the new OC doesn't like him because he's not 6'2",
well, then that's stupid, too.
Well, I saw Bickerstaff pulled his name out of consideration.
Mike D'Antoni. Does that do anything for you?
Not really. But there's no name you can give me that I think is going to be a good fit here.
How about a guy who just became available? Frank Vogel.
That's actually not the worst. Also, keep in mind that Frank Vogel just coached the 8th seed in the East.
7th seed.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Come on, man. Let's be accurate.
I like Frank Vogel, okay? I don't know what coach you could bring in with this roster. I would say this is going to happen.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number three, 713-780-ESPN, if you wish to get in on the text line, or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates975. Text the show with the number that we gave out at the top. We're live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, where two of boxing's biggest superstars, middleweight world champion Canelo Alvarez and two-time world champion Amir Khan will collide in a mega fight at the new T-Mobile Arena. It's a fascinating matchup that pits Canelo's power against Khan's speed. Don't miss Canelo versus Khan live on pay-per-view this Saturday at 8 o'clock Central Time. So, missed anything that we did the first 2 hours? A lot of what you heard about Aggie and about the Rockets, and a little bit about the Cavaliers, doing some draft stuff and some boxing, of course, because we were out here and at the MGM Grand, and we're efforting some guests, and hopefully we'll get that done for you here in the next few minutes. But so far, fun show, I have to say. Started off a little shaky. I was off my game. I'm way low on alcohol.
Yeah.
Since I haven't had anything really in 2 days.
Yeah.
That's not cool. Actually, 3 days now that I think about it.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. That's got to end tonight.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
It has to. This is my only.
I'm sure it will.
Yeah, I have not made a bet since I've been here. I've been, because we got in so late, and then I basically have been working. There's something incredibly wrong with that.
People are still, people still talking about the Aggie drama.
Yeah.
And I don't understand people defending what this coach is saying.
Oh, I understand it. It's my school no matter what, and he's part of it. Now, when he's fired next week and they bring in somebody else, then he's an idiot.
Yeah, let me tell you something about Aaron Moorhead. In the 6 years since he's been out of football, this is his fourth coaching job. How many kids do you think committed to him for the next 4 years, and then he was gone? Because I'm sure there were guys who committed to him at New Mexico and at Stanford and at Virginia Tech, but then when a better job came along, well, listen, guys, I know I told you we were gonna make some special things happen here at Virginia Tech, but I got a job offer to go work at Texas A&M. I'm going to go ahead and take it. Come on, man. Don't be a hypocrite. It happens all over this business. I don't feel – this is why I always say I wish they would make the rule where if you're head coach – or the coach that was designated your recruiter, if they transfer or they change jobs, that kid should have an automatic option to transfer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with that.
Because coaches commit – I mean, players commit to coaches more than they do universities.
No, that's not what fans of schools will tell you. No, you're committing to the university.
That's not true.
No, they're not. I mean, they're developing a personal relationship with these guys. It's going to last several years. And – yeah, if that coach leaves, that's you're right. Hypocritical is the perfect word for it because that's what it is. And this kid didn't even go to school there yet.
No.
And that's another reason why I have no problem with these kids flipping their commitments, because if he gets there and finds out it's a bad situation, he's got to sit out a year. And that sucks. So I think it's just one of those things. It's a bad look for the university, and there's no real way to defend this, and there's no real way to make it better than just move on And, you know, even if they didn't want the kid, it's still a terrible look. But it's also kind of, to me, masking the fact that this coach screwed up. You know, he had no business doing that.
Yeah.
And if you're defending him, I think it's – I can't see a non-A&M fan defending the guy.
Players decommit. Coaches leave. That's college football. That's what it's always been. It's what it'll always be.
And for every decommit, you'll get some other kid that you took from somebody else.
And you'll be okay. And when you take those guys, you don't think they're a bunch of traitors or sellouts. When that guy decommits from your school or from some other school and goes to yours, you don't think those kids are scumbags.
Right.
So stop.
And the way adults, presumed adults, react to some of this stuff just drives me nuts.
People are tweeting at this kid's sister. Grown-ups tweeting at his sister? Come on, bro.
I thought Aggies had a code.
Yeah.
Well, just saying. All right, 713-780-3776 if you want to text the show. I think we're trying to get Evander Holyfield here for you guys. So we'll see if that works out. And, any minute.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's going to wind up being right when we're supposed to go to break.
Yeah, probably so. Oh,
so we'll just have to adjust the clock a little bit if that happens. But you always want to get the champ on if you can. And tomorrow we'll have another champ, Lennox Lewis. So been an interesting show so far. We had guys in their underwear screaming at us.
Yes.
That was a little awkward.
Did you like that, though?
Not really, no. It's not my
flavor.
Wasn't
my favorite.
No, not my flavor at all. I mean, if I'm going to see guys in underwear, I prefer the bigger ones.
Right.
You know, like offensive.
You like a beefy.
I like defensive linemen, not soccer players.
Okay.
How's that?
Yeah.
Is that fair enough?
You like your men in their underwear to be a little meatier.
I don't want to say meaty. I mean, just bigger.
Okay.
You know, just in general, like large human beings.
Beefier.
No, because beefier implies fat.
Okay.
So I'm not saying
thicker.
Fat.
You like thick men?
Let's just say instead of 5'1" 108.
So you want taller guys?
Well, yeah, taller but broader.
Okay.
Broader, that's all.
All right, whatever turns you on.
It doesn't turn me on. I'm just saying if I have to pick between what I'm going to look at when they parade them in front of us. Jeez.
Oh, well.
Quote, Aggies do not lie, cheat, or steal, but as an actual graduate of A&M, I'm embarrassed. That wasn't a classy move by the coach and doesn't represent what we strive to be. So...
That's the rare – that's we see him occasionally. That's what we call reasonable Aggie fan.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're out there.
Rational Ag fan.
They're out there. Lamont, his boss Sumlin showed a lot of commitment preparing UH for that last game as he interviewed for A&M.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the reality. And
Drunk Bevo says, not to mention the coach is trying to get kids to flip to him. Yeah, every coach – goes to these kids saying, listen, I know you gave a verbal commitment, but we'd really love to have you here, buddy.
All right. Here he is. Got the champ.
How's it going, champ? How are you, sir? The legend himself, one of the great heavyweights of all time, joining us on the program, Evander Holyfield, sitting down with us. How you doing, champ?
I'm doing well.
What do you think about this fight coming up on Saturday? What do you think of Canelo Khan? Most people seem to think it's it's already written in the books that Canelo's just going to knock him out. He's too big. He's too good. What do you think?
Well, you got to look at Khan. He's a good fighter. He's a good boxer. He moves real well. But I actually think I only come to the fight when I don't know what's going to happen. When I know what's going to happen, I don't come. So, you know, I'm telling you, which shows that Khan is – he's a good boxer, and it's going – I'm telling him to get him. You're going to have to – you got to take risks to get him. And so I think when he take risks, because if he don't – if Canelo don't put enough pressure, he going to get outboxed. So the guy faster, he throw more punches. And so he have to put pressure on and get him out of that don't.
As a fighter, what bothered you more, having someone who was – going against someone who was as big and strong as you – or going to someone against who's maybe a little smaller but faster than you? What did you prefer?
I like aggressive fighter because you can hit him.
Right.
You can't hit a guy that kind of like that. You take more chance because, you know, with me, aggressive fighter, they put themselves in a position to get hit. And so it was easier to beat them guys than a guy that was that kind of fought the same style out falling, and he waited, then the crowd get antsy and start booing because they want to see some fight. But so if you don't make the fight, then all of a sudden it's gonna throw you off.
We've talked a lot about the heavyweight division now and how it hasn't been the same since you guys were doing it. What do you think of the division now? And this Tyson Fury is the heavyweight champ. I mean, that's got to drive you nuts, right?
Well, not really, because it allows you to know that if you get so caught up in thinking that you got the longest arm, then someone come up with arms a little longer than yours, and you don't take time to get sparring partner who got arms just as long as yours, where you can get accustomed to it, then he got beat by that type of situation. He accustomed to fighting guys 6'2", 6'2 and a half. He's 6'6". Now he fights somebody 6'7". Now he can't make the adjustment. He can hit the same jabs that he usually hits someone else. And it's a boring type fight, but he think that if he don't knock me out, maybe they're going to still give it to me, and they don't.
Do you think maybe Klitschko got to the point where, I mean, the guy didn't lose for 10, 11 years. He was never really even tested. Do you think it got to the point where he was just lazy in his training and he just worked on the one thing that he was working, that had always worked for him, and he never really expanded his game? You think that was his flaw?
Well, not really, because the fact of the matter, you're the captain. When you're the champ, you're the captain. But you do have coaches that tell you, man, you know, you need to – at least they get you the proper sparring partner.
Right.
I'm like, you know, it's not one time that I'm going to fight somebody and not going to have a sparring partner that ain't going to symbolize the guy that I got to fight. You know, it's just like when I had to fight Mike Tyson, I had to fight short guys who were strong, and they came in, they were explosive. So I got accustomed to that style. But, you know, for him to fight Tyson Fury – you have to get a lot of long guy with lower arms. And so do he know that they going to hit him this time now? If he want that, you got to symbolize the fight the way that it's going to probably be if you fight opponent. You got to get someone exactly just like that.
What will it take for the heavyweight division to get back to where it was in the 90s and before, when that was the premier division in boxing? Or do you think that's ever going to happen again?
It can happen, because, you know, but it started out with young guys who small and grow to that size. And you got people want to come box when they big. And the only thing they know is power. I'm going to hit you one shot. Still, if you, like I started boxing when I was 8 years old, I weighed 65 pounds. I had to learn how to box. I couldn't beat everybody. I had to throw more punches than them. And so you learn the technique of the game. Then when you get older, even though you hit hard, you still have them techniques, you can make adjustments. And I think that now that people see that you're not just going to go in and I'm just hit this guy one time and he's going to fold up. Now boxing, you know, heavyweight don't move to England. You know, they got more champions than we do. I'm telling you, it's seen art, but this is what happens when you forsake the skill of the game of boxing.
That's Evander Holyfield. Champ, always good to see you, and appreciate you spending some time with us. You look great, man. Look like you can still get in the ring if you wanted to.
Well, it don't work that way.
All right. We're going to take a very quick break. That is Evander Holyfield. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Thank you.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here, MGM Grand in Las Vegas. And it was kind of cool getting the champ on. It's always kind of hit and miss, but I thought that one was a hit.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah. Couple things. Did you see that hot things with a hot mic always concern me because there's probably a million things that would get us in real trouble if our mics were on when they weren't supposed to be.
Yes.
So this one, I found it funny, but at the same time, I'm a little sympathetic. But you see that Chris Matthews of MSNBC got caught on a hot mic talking about how he loves the way Melania Trump walks.
No.
And it says something like, my God, is that good? And, you know, I know there's some people who are going to get upset about that, but if you guys had any idea some of the stuff we talk and we think the mics are off, you're just having fun. And you know what? Yeah, she's hot. Of course, he's 70 years old, so that's creepy. I mean, but I think Donald Trump would like that he thinks she's hot.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Of course, I've got a hot wife.
Did you also see it? And hopefully we'll get Oscar De La Hoya tomorrow, get a follow-up on this. Because he said that he saw Donald Trump cheat multiple times when they played golf at one of the Trump courses.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He claims Trump hit four balls off the first tee and then magically found his first ball in the middle of the fairway. By the way, I found my first ball. It's right here. We're like, okay, yeah. And said he did the same thing on a par three when his tee shot sailed out of bounds. We get up there to the green. He's like, oh, my ball's right here, 3 feet away. I'm going to pick it up. It's a gimme. Trump said he was deeply offended by De La Hoya's accusations. Told Tim Dahlberger of the Associated Press that it was all bogus, saying he respects the game of golf too much to cheat and he is a good enough golfer to have won several club championships.
All right, sure you are.
Also said he's never played golf with De La Hoya and accused the former boxer of just trying to sell tickets for the upcoming fight he's promoting between Canelo Alvarez and Amir Khan.
It's funny he addressed that immediately but still didn't address all the money that he owes Bob Arum.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't heard anything about that.
He doesn't want to talk about that.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm sure Golden Boy is trying to promote the fight. But it'd be fun to talk to him hopefully tomorrow. I know he's supposed to be around, so maybe we'll get him. And Trump's wife is 46, according to Casino Joe. So is it creepy for a 70-year-old to talk about a 46-year-old? I'm going to go no.
No.
I think that's okay.
No.
Really, I think any woman over 40, even a 90-year-old, is okay to creep on them.
Yeah.
I mean, at that stage. I don't think there's any rules once you get up. Really, man, I think maybe even 35, but I'll say 40 is a good number.
Once you're 40, it's okay for any man to look at you?
Yeah, if you're hot, sure.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Any age. Although not like 12-year-old, because then that turns into a...
Right.
Yeah, you know, we don't want any of that. That turns into another teacher story, and none of us want to see that. This is happening all, you know, Houston is becoming a capital of this. And so there's another story about teacher-student sex the other day. Dude, stop doing it, okay? And if you know somebody is doing it, it's one of your friends, make them stop. It's against the law and it's wrong. All right.
Well, what if the teacher's a chick?
Well, I mean, even now you can't.
We're past that?
Yeah.
We don't do that anymore?
No, we shouldn't.
Are you trying to get Mike's attention?
I'm trying to get Mike's attention.
Mike.
Yeah. Out front. Thank you.
All right. Here
yeah,
we go.
Getting our guest for us.
Sometimes you just got to say, hey, Mike.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't want to do that on the air, but waving frantically while he was not looking at me was not going to get it done either. So there's things about this, about doing these remotes here that I love and things that not so much. One more weird story for you, just a little off the – been pretty sportsy today. This is an idea I wish I'd thought of. Yeah, not asking for an exact number. How many Asian women have you seen wearing masks in Vegas since we've been here?
Counting the airport?
Counting the airport, yes.
1 million.
I was going to go like 50.
Okay, close.
Yeah. And
I did walk the entire strip today, though, so I might have seen more than
yeah.
You.
Well, so therefore, it's probably a smart idea to sell air to Chinese.
Do they have the Zika virus?
No, they don't have the Zika virus.
Is that what they're trying to avoid and it's here and I just...
No. I have no idea why they do it. I think they're just used to it from Hong Kong or whatever. But anyway, apparently two Australian guys have come up with a business where they are selling clean air to Chinese.
It's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea.
If people can bottle water, why not?
Yeah. So they're going to get clean air and send it to the Chinese. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we're going to have a very special guest that a lot of people in Houston will love to hear from.
All right, guys, I got to tell you, Mother's Day this Sunday, get the mom in your life the softest gift for doing the hardest job. Being a mom, we all know that's a tough job. The world's softest pajamas from Pajamagram. That's pajamagram.com. They've been created by a team of dedicated pajama experts. I didn't even know pajama experts existed, but they do, and their sole job is to make really, really soft pajamas. These are the softest pajamas in the world. They're lighter than a cloud. It's like cashmere, but better. She's going to love the way they look and feel, and they're going to last a lot longer than a bouquet of flowers. Being a mom is the world's hardest job, so spoiler this Mother's Day. Give her the gift of softness, comfort, and relaxation with the world's softest pajamas from Pajamagram.com. You don't have to gift wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Delivery for Mother's Day still guaranteed. Visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. Let them know AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
But tonight, don't call it a comeback. I've been here.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and we have a very special guest. Technically, she is Executive Director of Entertainment Marketing and Communications for MGM Resorts International. That sounds like...
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, that's a mouthful. That also sounds like you're important, too. But but you guys in Houston will know her as first the Horse Babe, then Renaissance Babe, then sort of BBVA slash Soccer Babe, Whatever Fest Babe, and now she's Vegas Babe. Gina Rotolo, one of my favorite people on the planet. What's going on, Gina?
How are you guys?
We're just loving life, man.
Welcome to Vegas, my friends.
Thanks. It's our first time here.
This is amazing. You guys look like you're fitting in really, really well. Do you see all these other people, how tired they look?
Yeah.
You guys are all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
That's right.
You went to bed early.
That's right. And I haven't had a single Red Bull since I've
Not one. I believe you.
Last time I had, after one night, I probably had 20. I was damn near dead.
Yeah, you were just slamming them at the poker table.
I lived on Red Bull the last trip out here and then some scotch.
I was going to say, it goes well with other things, I hear. So
yeah,
I have not tried Red Bull and scotch, but I'm a little busy.
I didn't mix them.
A little busy.
So your real job now is you're...
My real job, like I didn't have any before.
No, like, that's such an impressive sounding title, but you're basically... Well, they promoted you like a week after you got here, right? So
you started
with just the new T-Mobile Arena, but now you're...
Yeah, everything. I came out here. It's kind of a bait and switch, so thanks, Vegas. I came out here originally just to head up all the marketing and communications for T-Mobile Arena and get the arena open and do everything else. And about, I think it was about 7 days in, roughly, I actually went back to Houston to try and figure out how to break the news and tell everybody I was leaving and pack up my house. And basically, I just left Jason to deal with all my stuff. I'm like, can you deal with this? Don't forget my shoes. Bye. And then I came back and they're like, has anybody told you that we've kind of made some changes and done some restructuring? When you've accepted an offer and you're getting ready to move across the country and you hear that phrase, you kind of go, oh my God, I'm gonna be sick. And they told me, they're like, hey, so we decided that we wanted to create a new entertainment division and we kind of want to corporatize what's going on. We've got a lot of venues, so we think you're the person that should head up all these things because you've done this in so many different iterations. And, this is a bigger deal than just focusing on one property. So basically every property within the MGM Resorts International family, every sporting event, every show, every residency, everything ultimately falls under me and the department that I'm building right now. So
I'm curious about this. I've seeing all the signs for all the shows that are coming through, and they're all, I mean, a lot of them are here at the Grand Garden.
Uh-huh.
A lot are at the new arena. How do you guys decide where you're going to put each act? Like, is there a certain, like, you expect a certain amount of people for this show, so you put it here? Or how do you guys decide that?
It's a little bit of all those things. Our arenas are all different sizes, but they have flexibility to be smaller and scale them down if you need to. So a lot of it depends on the history of the act. So if it's a bigger act and they've consistently sold out, you know, Mandalay Bay Event Center and the Grand Garden, then we're going to look at moving them over to T-Mobile Arena because it's a bigger facility. We're 20,000 seats over there, where the other ones I think are in the, you know, anywhere from sort of like 12,000 to 15,000. So when an act needs a bigger place to go, now we have it. If it makes sense, you know, award shows, they've been at the Grand Garden for years and years. So getting those to move over to T-Mobile Arena, same same thing. You know, you've got events that just, they need to grow and they need more space and they need different opportunities to activate and to engage their sponsors. So we offer a neutral site and a larger platform to do that.
Well, this is going to be the first fight.
It is. It's my first boxing. Oh, my God. What's happening
here? And pretty soon you guys are going to have UFC 200 there, which is going to be huge for that. That's going to be a big show for you guys.
It's crushing it on sale already.
This is going to kind of let you guys gauge how an event like that will work, I think.
Absolutely.
What are expectations compared to what happened here a month ago for Pacquiao Bradley? Like, what are expectations for Canelo Khan at the new arena? Are you guys under pressure? Are you nervous?
I think we're excited about it. You know, it's the first boxing event in the building, and it's totally different. We just got off doing, I think we've done 8 or 9 events now in the first month, but those were all concerts, and we had one family show with the Globetrotters, so it's a different setup. But boxing is a completely different beast, and for me and several of the people on the staff, this is our very first time ever dealing with boxing, so it just is. It operates completely differently than the concert world. It kind of actually makes me laugh a little bit, and you guys will appreciate this. There's something real soccery about it. When we would do international soccer, it's a lot of people that are involved, a lot of sponsors, a lot of people that come together. So I think the building coming together to help put those pieces in place is really essential. So I think we're excited. You know, it's just every time you do something for the first time, there's a little bit of anxiety involved with that. We're doing Friday night fights out on the plaza, so right now we're building the rings for that, and you know, it's a different setup. Weather's kind of, you know, it's windy right now. We're like, is it gonna rain, is it not? I didn't know it rained in the desert, so that's awesome. I brought that with
it
me.
It rained the entire time we were here last time.
I know. I think I brought that with me somehow.
Ugh.
They're like, I was like, do you guys have monsoon season? Like, apparently, Tex, thanks for that. So, meanwhile, Houston was like washing away at the same time. So, I don't know. I blame Jason for that. He went back to Houston.
We basically missed each other by about.
And he left
four
again.
Hours.
He heard you were coming here, and he got on a plane this morning.
I know. I don't know why.
He's off to deal with some rodeo out in New Caney, I think. So,
oh, the New Caney Rodeo it's big time.
It's huge. It's huge. It's bulls and, well, I can't remember. I keep calling it bulls and booze, but that is not.
I'll find it. But
it's the six shooter something or other. But anyway, it's really cool.
Bulls, boots, and boobies, I think is the name of that rodeo.
I think that's what the tagline is. Yeah. Actually, it's a hashtag.
And belt buckles.
Belt buckle. You get a belt buckle. Yeah. I asked him today on the way out the door if he was planning on riding a bull, and he closed his eyes, and he like looked the other direction like in a Stevie Wonder type way, and I was like, you know I can see you, right? And he's like, I don't think I'm going to do that. And I thought, this sounds safe. I won't get in the ring either. And then I thought, maybe I will. Who knows?
Knowing him, he's going to be on a bull. And people should go just to see that because I'm sure the video will go nuts. So how are you adjusting to Vegas so far? I know he's back and forth a lot more than you are, but you've been able to get back. And it's funny, when you guys said you were moving, and everybody was so depressed, and I was kind of like, yeah, I'm down about this, but – actually, I get out there so much, I'm going to see them just as much anyway.
You might see me more.
And I'll have you guys to myself. I won't have to share you with all your other friends.
I know. No, it's been really great. Vegas has been a really good move, I think. I've been so busy with getting everything up and open. So, like, the last 5 months, it's been 5 months, I think, 5.5 months since I've been out here, and it's been kind of a blur. There's just an awful lot to do to get the building ready to open. So I think we're about to get into the point where we settle into normal life, and everybody's like, wow, you guys just hanging out on the Strip every night, going to different shows, and I'm like, no. And then you look at my Facebook and Instagram feed, and you're like, did she go to 10 shows this last week? Is that her photo with everybody you can think
here's
of?
Gina with Billy Joel. I saw that one the other day.
And the giant chocolate piano. Oh, my God. That still led. I think the back of house still smells like chocolate. So delicious. And tomorrow is but prime example, with my role tomorrow, I've got Friday night fights and the weigh-in at T-Mobile Arena. Daddy Yankee and Don Omar are performing at MGM Grand, so I have to be over there for a little while. And then it's the kickoff to Selena Gomez's tour with DNCE. So it's the Selena de Mayo show. But we're kicking off the tour, so we're going to do a big artist presentation with her and some other cool stuff. So I had to be in three places at one time. And with the number of people that are here this weekend for all the other events, it is not easy to get around.
Yeah.
So even if you're walking, I'm just like stumbling through. And people start their party, I don't know, they start 2 days ago, because judging across the people watching, which, by the way, is amazing here, in the casino, like walking from T-Mobile over here today to MGM Grand, wow, people, the sun is still up. Let's pace ourselves. You don't have to get the 250 feet of margarita on wheels.
You don't have to.
And drag it around like an albatross.
Those are Vegas rookies.
But I think that's bulk pricing. You get a better deal.
Have you ever seen people at the meeting, like when they're out down at like the Pat O'Brien's, they're buying those, and it's always like the bachelorette party, and they look so adorable. If you see what that looks like 12 hours later, it's the exact opposite. It's like
a bachelorette party at 3 a.m.
Woo!
When they're all carrying their shoes and their makeup
and they're trying
up.
To keep it together, like, let's get water. I need a smart water.
Yeah, and they're like, I need to rinse this vomit off my dress.
I mean, I'm in the land of sparkly and shiny, which is great, but I'm also in the land, like, homegrown no-mams. I am in heaven.
It's bad.
I know a lot of people are kind of curious about this. Have you heard anything more about the expansion team here and how important would that be to get a hockey team in that arena? And more importantly, that means when I come out in the fall, I can go
right,
to games.
Right, so you can, when can we start getting our season tickets?
Yeah, that's kind of where I am with it.
You know, I don't really know a whole lot more right now. I think there's supposed to be some updates and some announcements coming here, hopefully in the next maybe month or so. But, you know, we've definitely customized a lot of things in that building with the idea and the intention that we'll get a hockey team. So I think it's favorable. When people ask me right now, you know, what's it look like between hockey and basketball, professional teams coming, I think that, you know, hockey would definitely be the first thing that shows up here, you know, well before basketball. You know, obviously now there's all this talk of the Raiders, and that's tough for me, man. Like, but I've had this conversation the other day with people. They're like, do you think that this town could sustain more than one professional sports team? And I said, I lived in Houston. We had every professional sports team you can think of. Hockey didn't hang on as long as, but we had all that at one point in time. So, you know, it's doable, and people, you know, they like to support the home team. So, you know, I'm sure if we get hockey, I'm excited about that. I don't know. Hockey players are just real cute. I have no idea about our abilities or anything. I'm just like, let's draft based on how cute you are.
That usually works. It's like AJ's handsome quarterback theory. It's
yes!
Like you have
oh
to have
gosh.
A handsome quarterback.
So I've threatened every year no one will let me start a league or be in their league for fantasy football, but I want to just draft all pretty people and see how well my team does. I feel like they would dominate.
Good luck.
But no one will let me into a league. They're like, you're not serious. And I'm like, do you listen to yourselves? You're fake owners and fake coaches of fake teams. How am I not serious?
We're pretty serious about that, though.
Yeah. But that's why the Reality Shopping League came into play one more time. And it was draft season, so I have to say I've started my draft season off pretty good.
Congratulations.
It's nice being near all these designer stores.
Yeah.
In between all the shows I'm going to.
Yeah. I mean, right, like a block down from you, you can get Fendi or...
I went to see Elton John and I came out. I was like, Jimmy Choo, what are you doing here? Jason ran the other direction.
You probably haven't gotten a chance to get to see too much of Vegas other than we're right around here and then at home, right?
I mean, yeah, we when we first got here, we did some stuff. Like, we went hiking. I know. Brace yourselves. I went hiking. I really did. Legit. I climbed mountains with comedians, which sounds like a joke, but it's true.
Was it Carrot Top?
It was not Carrot Top. That's before we were friends, but I feel confident that if
are
I tell...
Are you guys BFFs now?
We are good friends.
Has he given you any workout secrets, workout tips?
No, we haven't gotten there yet.
Hair tips?
I think he actually did ask who does my color, so I was like, this is my trademark, pal.
Yeah.
And then I told him
this.
He could open for me sometime.
Okay.
I heard he was up and coming. He was doing pretty well over
he's
at the Luxor.
Right.
So,
right.
But I haven't gone to see his show yet, so he's like, that's offensive. And I'm like, well.
You kind of got your own shows to do.
Yeah, I was like, I'm kind of in the middle of some stuff right now. Yeah,
Guns N' Roses is a little bigger than you,
Mr. Top. He actually, but it's funny because that guy is friends, legit friends with everybody. Like, he's friends with Guns N' Roses. He's really good friends with the Killers. Imagine Dragons was at that opening night show, so, and they're all Las Vegas, so they're friends. But I think he showed up to almost everything. I haven't had the request yet for him to come to the fight, but I wouldn't be shocked.
Wouldn't be.
Not at all. Where should I park? You should just walk over, man.
Gina, good luck with your first fight. I'll be curious to see how this goes.
I'm looking
forward to the Facebook post. So.
I'm going to try and get in the ring and get a selfie or see who I can fight on my staff. Do the photo op at the very least. I'm pretty sure there's several people.
If you go in early enough, you can get a photo while they're setting everything up. I got a picture of Mike in the ring last month. He was in the ring all by himself. That's his profile picture now is the picture I took of him sitting on the ring before it was all set up.
Amazing.
You can do it. Or just crawl into the one here in the front of the MGM with
right,
the lion.
Right, like with the lion. Yeah.
Square off with that lion.
I am so jazzed about dressing up that lion. Like, I can't wait. Like, that lion, my eyes on that thing. It's all mine.
So you got the power to do that now.
I do. Like, that's dangerous. She can bedazzle anything she wants in the building. Look out.
What happens when you have five titles?
And it's a billboard. It requires three minions to carry it. They couldn't make it, obviously. They got. I'm sure my business card's still stuck someplace on the Brooklyn Bridge.
See, I would have. If it were me, I would have showgirls behind me.
We have ring girls. Oh my god! I had to like do all the ring signage and approve what they were wearing. So my job is complicated.
Was it like, this may be too skanky? Was that a concern?
We did pretty well this time. I didn't really have concerns. I had concerns with some uniform questions that I saw before we opened the building. I'm like, ooh, no, ma'am.
Yeah.
I cannot allow that. I cannot allow that.
I feel like ring card girls, there should be no limits on how skanky they
There's
can
not
dress.
A lot there, I'm going to tell you. So.
Just let them have what they want. I mean, listen, you want to show up
naked? They're working what the good Lord gave them.
That's right.
Skank away.
Or what their doctors, the good Lord gave their doctors.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Talent can be bought.
All right. It's always a pleasure to have our good friend Gina Rotolo on. And hopefully, I think if we're out here again next month, we'll have you on again. You can tell us what else is going on out at the arena.
Amazing. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Of course.
Miss you, and I miss everybody in Houston. So have a good weekend, H-Town.
All right. You know what will make them really have a good weekend? Something that Gina's already done. Make sure that they get Sherry's Berries for Mother's Day. And, you know, the cool thing about Sherry's Berries is they're unique. Mom's going to love them. Grandma will love them. The mother of your children will love them. And now's the time to show your mom just how much you appreciate her. Get Sherry's Berries, freshly dipped strawberries, starting at $19.99 plus shipping, or double the berries for just $10 more. This is an exclusive offer just for the Blitzers. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone in the top right corner, and type in the code Fred and AJ.
Yeah, listen, these berries are huge. They're delicious. They're amazing. Women love food that tastes good. That's what they love chocolate. They love strawberries. When you mix it together, it's magical. And this is the way to go. The only way to get this deal, freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99 or double the berries for $10 more, go to berries.com, berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner. Type in Fred and AJ. That's berries.com. Click on the mic. Enter our code Fred and AJ. It's a limited time offer. Mother's Day is on Sunday. Don't be the bad son that blows it. Your mom will hate you forever if you do. Order now, berries.com. Promo code Fred and AJ.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, join me Saturday at Sam Houston Race Park for the Kentucky Derby. I'll be out there from 1 to 3, and we'll be having a handicapping contest. The winner of that gets a dinner for four at the Winner's Circle Restaurant. Plus, you get a chance to see America's greatest horse race at Sam Houston Race Park on Saturday. All right, let's do Hoffman on Hollywood.
All right, and we'll start with Puff Daddy. And he has come out and said he's going to put out his last album and devote 100% of his time to doing films. So he says he's retiring from music. I had no idea this was the case. But he says, I want to stop at a great place, and a final album is a great place to stop. Well, okay. I want to take a victory lap to do a world tour and really enjoy it one last time. He's played with the idea of his upcoming album, No Way Out 2, being his final release before. But apparently he has decided that this is it. He's ready to focus his time and energy elsewhere. So he's had a 20-year music career that is coming to an end with his next album. Are you a P. Diddy fan, Fred?
Not really. My style. I mean, it's one of those. I'm pretty sure I've heard five or six of his songs and don't know who sings them.
Jong, are you a Diddy fan anymore? Or when was the last time he was like cool for the kids to listen to?
When Notorious was around?
Yeah, it's kind of. Well, I mean, then they did that. They did that song, the "I'll Be Missing You," and that was when he was like at his biggest. That was Puffy's biggest capitalization on his friend dying. He made a ton of money off of it. But besides that, yeah, I didn't know if people were still listening to that dude anyway. Eminem's wife, who, by the way, looks like she looks so, or his ex-wife, I should say, looks so methy now. Look
oh,
at her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's bad. But she called into a Detroit radio station this week to offer her explanation for her arrest on a drunk driving crash. She called Mojo in the morning and said that she did not expect to survive the crash. I saw at the end of the road where I knew that no one else but myself would get hurt. Yes, I drank, I took pills, and I hit the gas and aimed for a pole. So basically she's saying it was a suicide attempt. Her Cadillac Escalade was found in a ditch, which, by the way, I mean, the fact that this woman who's done nothing is driving a Cadillac Escalade,
And can't even kill herself properly.
Yeah. And plus, who kills themselves in an Escalade? You need something that... Get a smart car and drive it into a pole if you really want to die.
And one of those Mini Coopers.
Yeah.
That'll get you.
She said, I apologized immensely. I did not even expect to make it through that, and I told the police that I tried to do it on purpose. I'm so sorry. The case was sealed, unlike the average DWI case. She told the radio station the only reason the files were sealed because this was a suicide attempt. They knew that those records were sealed. There was medical information in them. It had nothing to do with the rest of the case. She says, everything has merit. I totally believe in the case. I totally believe in my argument. We'll see how it plays out, says Mike Smith, her attorney, who says she wasn't in the right state of mind, the warrant wasn't written properly, and the judge didn't have the proper authority. The court file also says she broke her wrist and toes in the crash. She also had a concussion. So you try to kill yourself, you break your toes.
A concussion.
Yeah.
That's a fail. I'm just going to go, that's a fail. If that's the worst you did, you've got to aim better or something. I don't know. Take your seatbelt off.
Here's a strange thing. Rumor Willis, who is Bruce Willis's daughter, if you remember,
yes.
She is apparently feeling bullied because her face was photoshopped. She went to Instagram to slam a couple photographers for digitally altering her jawline. She says, I love the way I look, and I won't support anyone who would feel a need to change the way I look to make me beautiful. The weird thing about this is, Rumor Willis has had plastic surgery to shrink her jawline.
Yeah.
I don't know. She says, the photographer photoshopped my face to make my jaw smaller. I find it really offensive for anyone to change the way you look so drastically. Whether or not they realize it, it's a form of bullying, which I won't stand for. She said, I don't think I really felt comfortable with my body or how I looked, and people were nasty, she admitted about her teenage years while she was competing on Dancing with the Stars, which she won, by the way. The photographers, for their defense, say retouching was only done to resolve some distortion with using a wide-angle lens for a group shot and not to alter or modify anyone's face. We used a wide-angle lens, and it might have made Rumor's chin look smaller from the higher angle that we shot the image. We certainly did not intend to change the way she naturally looks. That's one thing I do notice about like paparazzi. They're never like trying to make you look better than you were supposed to look.
No.
So
that's usually what Playboy does. They airbrush everything so that you look hotter than you are.
David Hasselhoff, congratulations. He is engaged. We've got a couple of engagement announcements. I told you the other day about Justin Verlander and Kate Upton. She announced sort of subtly that they're married by her baseball-sized diamond on her ring finger. So congratulations to her. But this one's a little different. David Hasselhoff has popped a question to his girlfriend, Haley Roberts. David Hasselhoff is 63 years old.
Okay.
His girlfriend is my age, 35.
All right. That's not that creepy.
No?
No.
It seems pretty creepy.
Nah. It's fine.
They met in 2011 while the actor was filming Britain's Got Talent. This would be the third marriage for the Hoff, who was last married to Pamela Bach in 1989. She was 11 years younger than him. His first marriage was singer Catherine Hicklin from 1984 to 1989. Bach and Hasselhoff have two daughters, including a 23-year-old, who happens to also be named Haley, just like his new wife.
Nothing weird about that.
I told my girl what I was going to do, and they were both really supportive. It's tough. No one wants to see their parents split up, but they love Haley, and they're just happy for me. So congratulations to the Hoff. And that's Off and On Hollywood, Fred.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for today. We have a lot more cool stuff coming tomorrow, so make sure you tune in. Hope everybody enjoyed the show. We will be here at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, broadcasting for one more day before the big Canelo Khan fight. All right, guys, got to tell you about Texas Mattress Makers. Memorial Day right around the corner. Texas Mattress Makers is blowing them away with the biggest Memorial Day sale ever. All right, if you go to a retail store, you're paying a markup. So you're already paying at least 50% more than what you would pay at Texas Mattress Makers. Well, how about for their Memorial Day sale? They're going to give you 5 to 50% off additional factory prices on handcrafted quality mattresses, custom fitted just for you. And you can see what a difference it's going to make when you go to the factory. You see how these things are made. They use real wood, real steel, quality materials. And they're just better quality products than you're going to get anywhere. And it's going to be custom fitted to the way you sleep. and you're going to save a bunch of money. And the Memorial Day sale, more than ever. Go see Yuval and the gang. Tell them I sent you. And I promise you, you're going to get a great, great mattress from great people at a great price. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price guaranteed. They're at 4619 Navigation, the corner of Lockwood and Navigation off I-10 East. TexasMattressMakers.com.
ESPN 97.5.